I'd rather Jim like to put me on the spot.
A half a century.
Half a century? I was thinking of, you know, you think about great people that have contended for the faith, we have what you call the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews called the Hall of Fame of our brethren in the Old Testament. Great people that had contended for under some very severe moments in time in their lives, and never even asking for release of their punishment, rather found it a privilege to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope I never ask to be done that, but if and ever that happens, I hope I do exactly what God has and give me that spirit of grace to do that. And I was thinking about, great men in my time, in our period of time now. We have people like Brother Robert Hubbard, Brother Hubbard, Brother Bogard, and many others that I have sat under, and of course Jim falls into that category. Sometimes we really need to think what we have, because it's a dying breed. It's a dying breed, I swear. You can go any church you want to go, but it depends what you want and what you're looking for. If you want your ears tickled, we got a lot of our churches that will do exactly that. But if you want to be stimulated, get that spirit motivated, and know the purpose and reason, and understand the concept of God and why He even saved our soul and for what purpose and reason He has saved it, that's what I try to look for. I was explaining to my wife a little bit on the way down about understanding the concept and the ideology of God. I said, and try to give her an example. I said, the Bible tells that we are not to steal. Okay, that's pretty simple. We know it's wrong. But you understand the concept behind why you do not want to steal. That's what I try to look for, more deeper meaning as to why I don't want to steal. Well, one, I can think of a verse that says, be assured your sins will find you out. Somewhere down the road, there's more reason behind why you should not steal, Not only because it's dishonoring to God or because it's wrong. There's some ramifications that are going to come about because of that, But anyhow, back to these great men I was reading about. I'm going through the deal that Brother Jim's just reading by Alvin J. McClain. I don't know if you heard him, The Greatness of the Kingdom. So I read about his history a little bit, and it was pretty impressive, the stuff that I have read. I just highlighted a couple of little pieces here. He talks about him establishing a seminar and all the things he had done. He says, and I was going to read this, because he is of his generation, were so focused on purpose, they were able to open a Grace Theological Seminary during the worst time in U.S. history. And they did this without charging in tuition. How did they do that? How did they function? I would assume the church was a giving people. Okay, I was a part of a church one time that they had a Christian school, and nobody had to pay anything. Church members paid for everything, books and whatever, He said, though a quiet, reserved, sickly man of diminutive stature, and I guess he was a very small man, Mr. McClain commanded respect when he walked into a room, and the students still remember him fondly for his ability to swift through complicated biblical passages, presenting them with clarity and conviction, to value his example as much as I was fascinated by his role in his evangelistical history of life. And then this last little piece here, this is kind of towards the end of his life. He says, the diminutive and fragile founder of Grace College of Theological Seminary used to say in his class, to his classes, it is too bad that just when a man gets to a place where he knows a few things, he grows weak and dies. And he's being very modest here. Knew a few things. You ever read that book of Greatness of the Kingdom? When I first started reading it, like 20 years ago, I said, I read 2 or 3 pages and that was it. What is he talking about? Mediatorial kingdom, the universal kingdom, and talking about we, the executors, as the mediators of this world, you know, the city on the hill, the light on the hill, governmental meaning, you know. He says, ironic for a man who knew and did so much. Ironic because by the time he died in 1968, that sickly theologian was undoubtedly one of the greatest contenders or a giant of our faith. You know, it's amazing, these people, they live in a different level. They study so hard. Their whole life is evolved around gathering information. For what? Just to write a book? No, for our benefit, brother. Our brothers kept the Bible alive in its original form all those years. For what? For us. They died for that thing. And to be in the generation of today where people are just so relaxed, very complacent about things, I think they lost the whole concept of why we even come to church. What is a Olympian Testament Church? How important is it? Who are we? Who are you? We are priests called by God. Well, I started 35 years ago, and I remember one time Jim Phelan, in fact, I heard him preach it the other day, don't settle for God's less, settle for his best. And I've been driving on that all these years. I didn't settle for less. There was a lot of great preachers that I love them as my brothers in Christ. But I couldn't sit under that kind of topical sermon stuff. Sermonizing all the time, salvation by grace, salvation by grace. I couldn't sit under that too long. I was dying on the vine. So I would always seek for people. I ended up at Wasco with Dieter Burstrosser, you know, and he's a pretty good student of the word. Okay, so I always sought out. Ended up in one church, I won't mention the name. That one there, it was the first time in my life at that time that I was thinking about dropping out. Where do I go from here? I lost touch with my brother here. I don't know where he went and where he ended up at. So I was just kind of adrift, you know. And so I told one brother, I said, you know, I think this is my last day, but I'm done for. If I'm going to sit under this again, you know, I can't go another run, go back to baby milk, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, just hang in there, brother. So I did. Been doing that ever since. And through the providence of God, I reunited with my brother here and just kind of revived my soul and spirit all over again. Every morning I go into that office of mine, turn on that computer and listen to four or five lessons in the morning before I even get my day started. You know, so I really enjoy those studies. And one day, like I told Jim, I said, one day when you leave this world, oh, I thought that was my Bible. When you leave this world, maybe by that time people are going to realize that there was a prophet among them and never even knew it. Anyhow, I'd just like to share that with you people.